Tonight I'm going to share with you a little bit of how to access the Father a little easier than you might have thought to do, clear up some misconceptions. Amen. Let's go to John 14. We're so back into the book of John. Oh, what that man knew. It's just amazing. You read the Word, but every place that you come into with the Lord, the Word will be right there. And that level will go to another level. I honestly convinced the Word is eternal and it'll bring eternal revelation. I've taught the book of John probably at four different levels, and this is a whole nother level now, especially this chapter 14. So in John 14, 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Everything he's saying here, he's speaking to 11 people. He's given this to 11 men in the upper room. Very intimate message. 14, 15, 16, and 17 were spoken to the 11 after he gave Judas the boot. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, my Father's kingdom, there's many dwelling places." That word mansion is not the one you'll live in, although you will have a mansion there. This is not what he was speaking about in this particular verse. "It were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place, a dwelling place for you. And if I go to prepare a dwelling place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, most of us read that in the past as being, okay, he's going to come back and get us, and he's going to bring us to heaven in the sweet by and by after this life. But this is really not talking about this, and it's crucial. If we're ever going to come into the fullness of God, we understand what he's saying here. He says, "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Now, when he said, "Where I am, there shall you be also," and he told the Jews, "Whether I go, you can't go," the ones that were trying to kill him. But he mentioned in chapter 12, it says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be." That's the first time he mentioned it. This is the second time he mentioned it in chapter 14. He says, "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not where you're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then he tells you where he's going. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's where I'm bringing you. Where I am in the Father, that's where you're going to be. I'm going to make a way where there is no way. I'm going to bring you into the bosom of the Father where I am. You're going to have the ability to dwell in the Father the way I dwell in the Father. And not only that, the Father's going to dwell in you the way he's dwelt in me. And this is really the heart of the gospel. It is attainable. It's very much attainable, and it's much easier than you might have thought. Hallelujah. So I'm going to share that tonight, how that process works. Now, he picks this back up in John 17 when he's culminating this upper room message. And you see that in verse 22. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now, our definition of what that means, "the glory thou gavest me," what does that mean to you? Does that mean that the glory cloud you've given me, I've given them the glory cloud, the manifested Shekinah glory? Is that what you feel he's saying? "The glory thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one"? "I and them," he's going to explain what this glory is. "I and them, thou and me, they may be perfect in one." Wow. If you knew what all is loaded up in that verse right there, you know that verse right there is the secret of all things, "that the world may know thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou loved me. Father, I will they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. For thou hast given me, for you lovest me from the foundation of the world." He said, I pray, here again, he says, "they be with me where I am." Third time he said it. That's why he came. Now what he's really talking about and what his glory really was that he held a position in the Father's bosom, in the Father's heart. He, as the Son, was one in the Father. There was no separation not even an ounce of separation. He was in the Father, and the Father was in him. And that was the true glory he held with the Father, to be inseparable of the Father and to fully receive of all the Father had was always his. You see that? That was his glory. And while he came, he says, this glory that I've had with the Father, I'm going to give to you. Not even the angels have this. You got to understand that the angels do not have this place. Not even the highest angels, not even Lucifer before he fell, had that place. To be in the Father, that was his glory. To sit at the right hand of God. You sit at the right hand. That's not like right hand you think of. The right hand of God was a place in the Father. The highest level of authority, but highest level of intimacy and highest level of oneness. He goes, I'm going to make a way. See, I came from the bosom of the Father to come down and tell you about him. In fact, over 6 or 7 times I like to teach this. He said, I do not come of myself. I do not speak of myself. I do not represent myself. I come in my Father's name, the Son. And I'll show you one verse in here. He says it like 10, 15 times in the book of John. The Son can do nothing of himself. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus himself? He says, I can do nothing of myself. I come and represent him that sent me. He actually told him, the doctrine is not mine. It's my Father who sent me. This is not my words. As my Father's taught me, I speak. He says, the glory that I have, you could be with me where I am in the Father. See, you got to understand this because he's going to get into this all over the place. He goes, I'm in the Father. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's what he was saying in chapter 14. The place that I hold, I'm going to bring you to where I am in him. And then he's going to be, as he's in me, I'm going to be in you, and he's going to be in me. You're going to become one like we are one. And he goes, I'm going to make this happen for you. And you're going to understand my joy that I've had for eternity with the Father, because I'm going to give you that place to be in him. Now, he's always God. You're not Elohim, he's Elohim. But you are a son. And Jesus is not ashamed to call you a brother. He gives you the position as a son. But more importantly, he gives you the position to be in his bosom or in him. Now, there is no way that I can actually teach what that looks like. The only way you're going to find out is experientially. And first of all, you got to get all that out of your head because it'll boggle you. But I'm going to give you some things that are going to help you. Only the Holy Ghost. And he says it in chapter 14. He says, I'm going to send you the comforter. He's going to teach you what I'm trying to tell you here. Because really spiritual things, when you get into the depths of them, I can only show so much because it's going to have to be you and the Holy Ghost. If you're going to understand the depths of Jesus Christ and the depths of what he wants to do and the depths he wants to bring you and the depths he's already brought you, you're going to have to get in there. But I'm going to show you an easier path to get in there tonight. Amen? All right. So that's what he was saying, to be with me where I am in the Father. Positionally, he's already done that. You're seated together with him. It's his heavenly places, but all this happens right here. I know that boggles you, but he brought it here. That's why you got to have the Holy Ghost, because this part will blow your head. You got to get your head out, get your heart in. Amen. Kingdom of God is within you. Amen. All right, so let's move forward now. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 8. John 14, 8. Now, Philip saith unto him, because he said in verse 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man's coming to the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you in the Father. That's already been prepared, by the way. You already have that, by the way. But until you access it, it'll mean literally nothing to you. You won't ever really experience it. You know you can go a lifetime with a dormant salvation, fire insurance, go to church, presence of God will come on you, glory of God will come on you, even the anointing will come on you, the gifts will come on you, never understand that realm ever. I'm just now entering in. I've been at it for 25 years. I'm like, this was here. He said it was there from the beginning. I said, couldn't we have just started there? Hallelujah. John 14, 8. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Bad question. And it sufficeth us. Now Jesus said to him, have I been so long a time with you, Philip? I don't think he was very happy with that question. I think he was quite frustrated, to be honest with you. He hath seen me, has seen the Father. How sayest then thou showest the Father? Philip, don't you understand? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Who do you think I'm coming to represent? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. It's the Father that's dwelling. That word, underline it, put eyeballs on it. The Father that's dwelling in me, he's doing the works that you see, Philip. I don't do them. He does them. He's dwelling in me. Believest thou not? I am in him and he is in me. If you don't believe that, you're going to have a real hard time believing where I really want to bring you. Because if you can't believe that he's in me, how are you ever going to believe he's going to be in you when I come to be in you? Because why do you think I've come, Philip? I'm coming to abide in you, and I'm bringing him with me. And if you don't believe he's in me, how are you ever going to believe he's in you? And that's what he wanted the whole time, to come and abide in you. The Father wanted to come and live in you. Not in a dormant state like he normally does. He wanted to abide in fullness. In fullness of love. In fullness of glory. In fullness of power. He wanted to make his home. He wanted you to be his temple where he dwelt. And only Jesus could have made that available. Nobody else could have made that happen. Ever. And that's what Jesus said, I come to prepare a place for you in him, and then I'm going to prepare a place in you for him, and you in him, and him in you. And then I'm in you, and he's in me, and you're in him, and we're in you. And he says this about 20 times. How many of you have known that for 20 years? Raise your hand. You've known it knowledge-wise. I knew that 15 years ago. Preached it. Just didn't know how to make it happen. Now he'll get in. He says, it's the Father that's dwelling in me. That's master key right there. Master key. Until the Father, I'm just going to throw this out here. To him who have ears to hear, let him hear. Until the Father begins to dwell in us, we will remain in the land of the gifts. It's not until the Father dwelleth in us that we will begin seeing the works again that Jesus operated in. The fullness of power and the fullness of glory is going to come directly from the Father dwelling in his people. Now watch his verse 11. Believe me. He says it again. Believe me that I'm in the Father. And the Father's in me. Believe me, I'm in him. You've got to believe because I'm bringing you to where I am. You've got to believe I'm in him. Why do you think I've come? I'm going to prepare a place for you in him, the one I hold. It's my glory to be in him. You've got to believe I'm in him. And you've got to believe he's in me. You've got to believe that. Or believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Now notice, because I go to the Father. How many of you have ever been preached that? And the works that he does, we will do also in greater works than he'll do. But we leave out, because I go to the Father. Why was that little part important? Well, let me tell you what the greater works were. Because there's not very many of us are going to do anything he hadn't already done. He raised the dead, paraplegics. He healed blind eyes, deaf ears. Lame, lepers, everything that was done to humanity, he already did that. So there's not any kind of greater work that way. Well, greater amount of works, yeah, I understand. But the really greater work that he was talking about was the fact that you were going to be committed to the ministry of reconciliation, and you could preach the gospel under his name, and somebody's dead spirit could be brought to life again by the name and the administration of the name of Jesus. You could lead them into salvation, and they would be brought and translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That's something he wasn't even able to do in his earthly ministry until he paid the price. That was the greater work. Hallelujah. Now, the greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. But he said, the works that I do and the greater works will you do. I'm like, God, when are we ever going to do even the smaller works? I mean, when John's disciples came upon Jesus' ministry in a random hour, said that random hour, he said, just go tell John the things you do see in here in this random hour you came upon me. blind eyes were opened, deaf ears, the dead were raised, the lame were made whole. I'm like, God, if we had that kind of gospel, the world would respect us a little more. You could preach the gospel very easy to somebody when you can show them the love of the Father instead of going to the house visitation and said, Father loves you. We're going to pray for your son. Nothing's probably going to happen, but we're going to pray, and we walk away and just have half faith. God loves you. I mean, that deep level of humanity, it seems our prayers don't reach into that level. You ever notice that? They reach a certain level, even the gift realm. If you'll notice in the churches that operating in the gifts, it'll reach a certain level, but then there's that one level up underneath it, very rarely tapped. That level of power, but Jesus unashamedly said, the works that I do, you'll do also. He says, Philip, who do you think's doing these works? It's the Father dwelling in me that's doing these works. And I'm going to bring him to dwell in you. And he goes, greater than these are you going to do because I'm going to him. But you have to understand what he's saying. He backed up all the way to the first verse of chapter 12. I'm going to him to prepare a place for you in him. And then I'm coming to abide in you and I'm bringing him with you. And the same Father that's dwelling in me, that's doing the works, are going to dwell in you. He's going to dwell in you like he dwelt in me. As I am, so shall you be also. I'm going to give you what I have with him. You're going to do what I do. It's expedient for you that I go away. He's going to send his comforter to dwell in you. The Father's going to dwell in you. The Holy Ghost is going to dwell in you. I'm going to dwell in you. You're going to be made one with us. I go to the Father. I got to go to open the way. Everyone say, booyah. Watch, he says, because I go to the Father, so you can read that. The Father, he goes, that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The Father that dwelleth in Christ doeth the works. He says, now, it's the Father that's dwelling in me. Now, believe me, he's in me. I'm in him, but also believe me, I'm going to be in you. Because he's going to say that in a minute. I'm coming to be in you. So you got to believe that when I come in, he's coming in. So guess what? The same Father that was dwelling in me. See, you always put that picture, well, that's Jesus and I'm me. That's where you're wrong. That's where we've missed it. He said, that same Father dwelling in me. I said, why can't we get him to dwell like that? Because we hadn't figured out how he does that, but we're figuring it out now. Amen. You got to get the Father dwelling in you, the Son dwelling in you, the Holy Ghost dwelling. They all live in you, but they live dormant until you wake them up. They're really not asleep. You're asleep. See, and you got to get in there where they wake up. What happens is we don't know how to go in here. We bypass the whole operation of the heart and come out here and say, okay, God, do something for us out here. We are got to learn to get into the veil. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, because the Father, once he goes into the heavenly places, the Father put all the power and the authority in his name, see. Now, let's look at verse 20. He says it again. Now he's going to bring you into the picture. In that day shall you know that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and I'm in you. Now, let's look at this for a minute. But he said, in that day you will know, I am in the Father. The Father that dwelleth in me is doing the works. And then what else? And I'm going to be in you. So I'm in the Father, he's in me. And guess what? We're both coming to be in you. The Lord spoke something to me. He said, one can chase 1,000, but 2, 10,000. And he goes, both of us live in you. If you got a revelation of one, just one of us in you, you could chase 1,000. If you get a revelation of Father and Son in you, they'll chase 10,000. The Father will chase everything up out of you. When the Father's love gets released in you, and we're going to teach you how to get it loosed, because that's what he's teaching right now, it's going to drive out fear, doubt, unbelief, all the stuff that's bound you and kept you captive, going to drive it completely out of you. It's going to create a habitation of faith and love and glory in you. And faith's going to be real easy. Because we're going to get the Father's love loosed. You keep wanting God to come love you from the outside in. He doesn't do that. Well, he does do that. Very sporadic. It's a whole lot easier to get him to love you from the inside out. You got to identify where he is. He's in you. Everyone say, he's in me. Now, when you say that about 1,000 times, it's going to mean a lot more. And I've literally said it about 1,000 times in the last week. I've repeated these. I'm in the Father. All right, you're in the Father. The Father's in you. And you two are in me. So when I first started, now I'm getting real accustomed to that. After 1,000 times, see, everything's agreeing now. Before it was my mind, wait a minute, it's getting a lot easier to digest now. Y'all ready for this? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loved me shall be loved of my Father. And he goes, I will manifest myself to him. Judas said to him, not Iscariot. I'm so glad this particular Judas asked this question. How is it that you will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to do that? Because he just said you're going to manifest. I need to know. He gives you the mystery right here. And Jesus said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Will keep my words. Will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. My Father and I will come make our dwelling place with you and in you. I'm like, God, if you made your dwelling place in us, we'd be a whole lot different. He goes, I'm in there. Always have been in there. He goes, but only your faith's going to make that a reality. Otherwise, it'll all lay dormant. You spend your whole life with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dormant up inside you. Well, usually when that happens, you get exterior. You get out here. You're trying to work something out, working outwardly like this. You're always in this mode, never in this mode. God's trying to get the whole body inside with him. We're all outside. That's what we've been trained to do. Touch, taste, feel. See, the devil knows how to attract your senses. His kingdom's out here. That's all he'd like you to do, spend all your time playing in his kingdom. He will manipulate you. He will control you. Hallelujah. He said, we will make our abode. Now, let's get back to this part. You ready for this? Jesus answered and said, I'm a man who loved me. Now, here's the part we've never understood. He will keep my words. You know what most people think about that? All right, if I'm going to get God to love me, I'm going to have to keep his word. I'm going to have to be a good person. I got to find all the good things he wants me to do because I got to keep his word to perfection. Got to go ahead and get the law out there and find all the stuff I got to do so I can measure up so God will love me. He'll come and make his abode in me. You will never, ever get God to make his abode in you like that. Because that's not what he's talking about. He said, my words are spirit. They are life to those that find them. He says, if you truly love me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What I'm about to venture into now, it's only for those that are head over heels in love. Because if you're not, you won't do it. It'll be stolen from you in a heartbeat. Because something else is going to take priority other than him. This will never work. You're never going to find the habitation of God if someone else is owning the allegiance of your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart be also. You're going to have to be sold out on this one. I'm telling you right now, if you're going to get this to work, but it's not as hard as you think. But it's going to require the allegiance of your heart. Amen? Of keeping his words. It's not the first time he said it. It's not going to be the last. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, most Christians have been around the full gospel circles. They always automatically, all right, I got that one. Got the t-shirt, done that. Yeah, I abide. His words in me. What's next? He is not talking about you sitting down and reading a chapter, reading two chapters. That word must abide. You must come to the place where you can keep that living word. What you don't know, what I didn't know, and what I had to realize is that living word, when I learned to hold it, was the answer to create the solution. It created the habitation. It's creating the presence. It's creating the oneness. It's creating the love. He's already there, but I had to hold that word. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean by that tonight. Now, if you look at John, 1 John, little John, back of the book, John, chapter 2, John says it again in verse 5, whoso keepeth his word, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Now, I've been preaching by revelation for 25 years, and I have not found the verily love of God perfected. because I didn't understand that is an operation. But keeping his word is something completely different. I'm just learned to do this and probably in the last month and a half, and I'm still learning, but I am doing it. And I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm going to teach you how to do that. And when you do, you're going to find something spring forth that you never found spring forth. You're exercising faith in the wrong place if you're always shouting out the devil out there. He's really not your problem. What God's trying to do is turn loose of what he's already done. Once he gets turned loose, believe me, the devil will be flattened on his face in a heartbeat. That kingdom will come and put him on his face. But if you come and approach him half-mast, just a little bit of presence, a little bit of word, and a lot of human sufficiency, you won't get anywhere. That's why we struggle, because we haven't tapped into what he's talking about. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. In John 14, it talks about the Father abiding in you, Jesus abiding in you, Holy Ghost abiding in you. All three of them, you have to understand, they all three abide, and you got to get in connection with them abiding in you. All right? Now, when it says keep his word, I've been given two major words since the Lord brought me into the Father. The first word I was given, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, you're the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. As God has said, come out from among them, be you separate. I'll receive you unto myself. I'll be a father unto you. See, so he's saying right here, you're the temple of the living God and the Father will dwell in you. And then what I did that first week, I just took that word and I must have probably done it a lot. You got to be serious about this. Now, what you need to understand is all your attempts to try to open that veil, you don't have to open that. The word's going to open it for you. What you got to do is take that one word and hold it. I hold it by faith right there. I hold it in my heart, see. I hold it by heart. I said, as you said, Father, I am your temple of the living God, not a dormant God. I'm the temple of the living God. As you said, you will dwell in me. You said you will walk in me. You dwelleth in me, Father. You dwelleth in me. Did you feel anything? After a while, I did. When I was first doing it, I just did it. Now, here's what you got to understand. Yeah, I need to take you over real quick to Ephesians before I get into holding, keeping the word part. I need to show you something about this that very, very powerful. And then I'll get back into the keeping his word. I'm going to show you how to keep his word. Once you keep it, it's going to open the door for you, and it's going to manifest. It's going to manifest the Father. He's always been there. It's like he's in an attic, and he's very light to him, very dark to you. And when you turn the light on, you see him. Oh, Father, you can go right to him. He was there the whole time. You couldn't see him. That's the way the heart is. It's very light, but you don't know it until you bring the word and hold the candle there. As you set it in the candlestick, it'll bring light to your heart, and you'll find out Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were always there. They're dormant until the light opens the realm of the heart. Once you open it, more than just Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's the essence, love, presence, glory. All right? And I'm going to show you something that fights you in this. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell, here we go, that word dwell. Dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ being in you in the form of your new nature being born again, this is different than that. Do you understand that? You can have fire insurance and God never dwell. Dwell is a verb. It dwells. It's the living God in you. It's tangible. You feel it. He's there with you. You know it. Indwelling, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. All right? Now, when you're first starting this, you know the Bible says that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ liveth in us. What's going to happen if your spirit's not in a certain position with God, and your flesh is overriding, and the mind and intellect and reasoning's overriding, and the world's overriding, and the lust of the world's system's overriding you. When you try to do this, you're going to meet forces that are going to come move in upon you, and you're going to go, what's the use? And the reason is, and nothing takes root there. Even though you're saved, you're born again, you're a new creation, nothing's taking root, because the second you try to do this, 100 things come at you, because your spirit's man is not in a dominant position. Your flesh or the world system. You take a Christian that's half-baked. They got the fire insurance. They are a new creation. But that living, indwelling presence part does not take root. What did Jesus say? It's my Father that's dwelling in me that's doing the works. Not my Father that's dormant in me. Until we get the indwelling part, we're not going to see the true works. You can cry, shout, scream, repent, go to the altar 100 times. But the indwelling part's a whole nother ball game. The indwelling part requires that you come in and a living word takes root into your heart. It's got to take root, but it's not going to take root if everything else is screaming for your affection. So God has a solution for that. There's two real solutions. You can be broken without remedy like me. He just broke everything else. I mean, I was so ambitious to just go out there and make my mark for God that God had to allow some crucifixion to my flesh, crucifixion to the second son, Ishmael. He had to just cut that stuff out of me. I mean, I've been under the knife so long, I don't know anything else. Cut. Chainsaw. You ever been there? He's breaking down a part of you that's competing with his process. If you want the very best that he has, he's going to get rid of the stuff that's competing with him. He's going to do it. You're going to be crucified, but there is another way. How many of you want the other way? The reality of why all that's competing, because it's overriding. See, remember he said your flesh is weak, but your spirit's always willing. It's always willing. But if it's being overrode, then the flesh is going to get you in all kind of trouble all the time. You can't fix somebody whose flesh is dominating their life. You're just going to fix it and blow all the fruit off the tree, and they're going to have it grown all again the next month. Some people just don't care. They just think, I can do this and this too. But some people just got some serious problems in their flesh, but they really love God. But I mean, the devil's all entangled up in their soul, all entangled up into their emotions, and they're just trying and trying, but they can't ever get free. And they're always working on the problem. You see, when you get like that, you're going to get hung up. You're not really ever going to get free until your spirit man can rise above that. Now, he actually deals with that two verses previous. See, he had to deal with a problem, and this is what this prayer is. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to start praying this prayer every single day of your life. Now, I'm going to tell you what's in that prayer and why it is that you're going to pray this. And this is why Paul, he was praying this over the church. You need to start praying this. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Stop. According to the riches in glory. He's going to pull out one part of riches in glory. You can take that model prayer and put the whole sevenfold inheritance. Worthy is land to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. You can put anything in there that's a part of riches and glory, but he's going to actually ask for the first part of it. He calls it strength, but it's actually the dunamis power of God. Now watch this. He says, he grant you. What did Jesus, Revelation 5:12, worthy is the lamb to have slain to receive power. That word power is a Greek word, dunamis. It's where you get dynamite from. Power. So watch, he says, verse 16, look at the prayer very carefully. Grant, the Father would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with dunamis. The dunamis would come out of riches and glory by his Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. It's going to draw that dunamis out of Christ, part of your inheritance. He's going to draw that dunamis out, and he's going to shed it abroad in your spirit. He's going to take dunamis power, and he's going to fill your spirit with it. You got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost right in that prayer. Asking the Father to release dunamis out of the Son that's abiding in you through the Holy Spirit to shed it abroad in your spirit. Why? So your spirit can come up above the fray. The things you've been dealing with. The things you've been struggling with. If your spirit doesn't get up above it, the word, the next verse, is not going to take root. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That you be rooted and grounded. You can't get there if your spirit's not above it. Do you understand that? The rooting process will be overridden by the devil. He'll steal it. He'll just snatch it every time, just like that. Because your spirit's not in position. So if you're having a lot of trouble, you're going to have to start praying that prayer where the Father's going to start releasing dunamis strength. Dunamis strength. The Holy Spirit is going to shed dunamis strength. He's going to get your spirit built up to a place where he can plant something in your garden. Because the enemy's stealing, the world system's stealing. That's why he said, if you love me, he that loveth me will keep my words. Keeping his words a little more difficult than we thought. You're going to have to keep it there until it takes root. Once it takes root, it'll release. Whew. Amen. Dunamis strength. Did y'all see it? You saw it. That's why you got to start praying that every day. He'll get that spirit built up where it can receive the engrafted word. Your spirit will receive the word that he says, he that keeps my words. To him that keepeth my word. What does he say in John? He said it right here. He said, he will keep my words. You can put in the heart. And then my Father will love him and we will come make our dwelling place. See, we want the engrafted word where Christ will dwell in the heart. We're looking for the indwelling. We're not looking for a dormant God. How many of you had that? How many of you are tired of going somewhere, getting your gas filled up and just to be empty again? We got to get in there where it's eternal. Where there's an eternal inheritance that gets released. Where the indwelling of presence of Father will not just come one day and the next day you're bankrupt. No, it's a release. You can't be living off somebody else's anointing all your life. You got to get in there. And you do that by keeping that word. But if your spirit's being overridden, you need to start praying that prayer to get so the Holy Ghost will release dunamis to get you above. Amen. Amen. Now, all right. Look at verse 20. I love it. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to that dunamis that's working in us. He wants to get dunamis working in us. Dynamite. Dunamis power. It's part of your inheritance. Now worthy is the Lamb to have received power. All power, all dunamis in heaven and earth has been given unto me. I freely give it to you. You get it by faith. Anything you're going to get by faith. You cannot get this stuff by works. You can't go out there doing something for God and think this stuff's just going to automatically get downloaded up in you. You got to get in there. You got to get in your garden. God restored the Garden of Eden in you. Everyone say, God restored the Garden of Eden in me. All right. Now, let's go to keeping his word. I showed you the first one, 2 Corinthians 6. See, I hold that word. I said, as God has said, I will dwell in them. See, Jesus already said the Father dwelleth in you. Because his prerequisite is you believe he was sent from the Father and believe the Father was in him. Why did he want you to believe the Father was in him so bad? Because that's who he was bringing to dwell in you. He goes, don't you understand the same Father that's dwelling in me? I'm going to bring him to dwell in you the same way he's dwelling in me. If you can get him to the place to dwell in you the way he was dwelling in me, he'll do the same works. But he'll do them in the name of Jesus. He'll do them in my name because he's given all things to me. All three of us are going to come abide in you. We've all had them abiding, but it hadn't made much sense because we haven't learned how to tap into where they abide. You tap by holding the word. You tap into it by keeping the word. Now let me show you something out of John. Behold, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Listen, dunamis power is going to work in you before it works through you. Amen. We got to learn to get inside. Ignore the realm of the heart. And you're ignoring the kingdom of God. If you ignore the realm of the heart, you only hope is for God to bring you something from the outside. That's what's wrong with God people. They all need somebody to bring it to me. Because you're ignoring the realm it all comes from. here. Now what we're going to do is open this realm up wide. We're going to set one candlestick after another, after another, after another. You're going to walk around and all of a sudden God is going to manifest His glory through your temple. We're going to get to the place where He goes, whoosh. Now, this starts by opening the door. You open the door by keeping His word. The Holy Ghost said something to me so awesome. He goes, if you can receive it, the daily manna is the revelations I bring to you to hold in the veil of your heart. He goes, I'll start bringing new ones on a daily basis. Right now, this is the one you hold till I bring you something else. See, God will light a verse that pertains to you holding in your heart. The first ones He's going to have you hold are the ones that pertain to Him abiding in you, Jesus abiding in you, Holy Ghost abiding in you, because that's what's going to bring light to the house. All right? This is the one He gave me yesterday. Love it. 1 John chapter 4, ready? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. And He in God. Did you get that? Whosoever confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God, the Father dwelleth in him, and He in the Father. That's what He's saying. You see that? Now, how would I hold that? Father, I confess. Jesus, I've already confessed You're the Son of God. And because I've confessed it, the Father, He dwelleth in me. Father, You dwelleth in me. And I am in You because Jesus prepared a place for me in You. And as He is in you, I'm in you. And we are one together. And because I'm in you, you are in me to dwell. You're in me to dwell. You're in me to dwell, to manifest Yourself in me. You see that? Now you go around starting doing that every day. And before be long, your heart will just open wide open. And look at this, verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Man, when that hit, he says, we've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. You know what he's saying? The Father is love. He is love. So he that dwelleth in love, you're dwelling in the Father. If you're dwelling in the Father, you're dwelling in perfect love. If you really, really believe the Father's dwelling in you, it will be an utter impossibility that his love will not be abiding in you. It will get released in you. Romans 5 said it like this, the love of the Father shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And I said, oh, Father, I ask you to grant me, and the Holy Ghost stopped me. He said, you never have to ask the Father to grant you love. He is love. All you got to do is believe he's there. And if you believe he's there, you actually believe love is there. And it won't be long that love will start manifesting in the foundation of your heart. Christ being rooted and grounded in your heart. Christ would dwell in your heart, that you being rooted and grounded in love, because Christ brought the Father. So Father is, God is love. So if I dwell, if God is dwelling in me, if he is love, then I'm dwelling in love. And love is dwelling in me. Now watch this. He said, God is love, he that dwelleth in love. What did Jesus say? I go to prepare a place for you in the Father, in love. I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to bring you into love the way I've been into love, because that's the only way I can describe the Father. You're going to be in love with love, and love's going to be in you, and you're going to be in love. And if you're dwelling in love, if you're dwelling in love, love's dwelling in you. How can you say as you hatest your brother and say God's dwelling in you? Utter impossibility. God's not dwelling in you. You might be saved and you hate your brother, but you cannot have the Father dwelling in you and hate your brother, because the Father is love. And if he's dwelling in you, it will manifest in love. Period. He is not talking about salvation. He's talking about indwelling, the indwelling God. That one is what we want. I don't want dormant salvation anymore. I want the indwelling Father. God is love. The Father is love. And he that's dwelling in love is dwelling in God, and God in him. I'm dwelling in love, Father. You are love. I'm dwelling today in love because Jesus prepared a place for me in you. You are love, Father. I'm right in the middle of love. I'm one with love. I'm in love and love is in me. Now you keep holding that and keep holding that. And I've only been holding it a day and a half, but I'm telling you, it's going to be very long. That love's going to release. And when it releases, how does that work? Because I hold it in my heart. It releases and the stuff you've been looking for forever is right there. How do you get it? You keep that word. You keep and you hold that. See, one thing God's not after is you going to try to love your brother with your love. That is an utter waste of time. You don't have the proper love to love your brother with. That's why he distinguished in 1 Corinthians 13 what true love was and what it was. He goes, you could give all your goods to feed the poor and not possess God's love. You give your body to be burned. He goes, because you can still do that out of human ambition, human love. But this love is coming from the Father. You got to tap the Father's love. And the way you're going to do that, Christ will dwell in my heart only by faith. How does faith work? I take the living word, ooh, and I hold it. I hold that living word. I take it and I speak it. I dwell in you. You are love, Father. I dwell in love because Jesus granted me a position in you, Father. And you are love. I'm indwelling. I dwell in love. And then God, you dwell in me. So love dwells in my heart. I'm rooted and grounded. See, when you start doing this, your spirit's not built up enough. The enemy will say, what are you? And he'll start reminding you all your stuff, your shame, guilt, condemnation, world system. He goes, oh, come over to my system. I'll give you something to love. You don't need to be loving the Father. Come over here in my system. He'll jerk you right out. Because your spirit's not. See, your spirit's always willing. Your flesh is weak. Got to get dunamis working so it gets rooted. Once the love gets rooted, once you hold it and go, oh, I know I'm speaking truth tonight. Once you get that working in you and that love gets rooted, all of a sudden the Father's gonna whoosh, the Holy Ghost is gonna shed the love of the Father abroad in you. And when you do that, you experience and encounter your first baptism. Now, I know every one of you have experienced the love of the Father, but we're talking about indwelling love daily, not just the sporadic times that we can touch the Father's love. I'm talking about unleashing the eternal wellspring of love that's already in you. You can do it. You can believe. You have the Father in you now. You're going to have to face it off by faith and hold it there and hold it there. Now watch what's going to happen. When the love of God gets released, herein is our love made perfect, verse 17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we now in this world. As Christ is with the Father, now we're with the Father. Everything he walked with, that's how we are now. As he is, you're one with the Father, Jesus. I'm one with the Father. The Father dwelleth in you to do the works. The Father dwelleth me and do the works. Because he's in the Father. Father's in him, and they're both in me. And one can chase 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. Let's get on with it. Somebody had a dream. She saw this army just lined up.
I saw jeep after jeep, convoy, camouflage jeeps with army men in camouflage, lining up miles and miles. They were just getting ready.
You know, before you go to battle, they start lining the soldiers, the supply line, the jeep, getting them all lined up. We're fixing to go to battle with the enemy's kingdom, but the Father's going to indwell us with love, and then he's going to indwell us with glory, and the indwelling presence of the Father's going to release the creative realm again in the name of Jesus. He's going to pull it out of the inheritance of that name, and that creative realm is going to manifest by the power of the Holy Ghost, and God's people are going to show themselves mighty again in the last days. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Look at verse 18. For there's no fear in love. This is the beauty of love. Love, when it gets released in the veil, Guess what's going to drive out fear? Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear hath torment. He that fears not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Listen, when love gets released, it's going to drive out the fear, drive out the torment, drive out the doubt and unbelief. All the stuff that's been keeping all your prayers from being answered, that wellspring of love, the habitation of God's love is going to release in your temple. And when it does, it's going to drive that stuff out of you. When it drives it out of you, all of a sudden you're going to pray. And the Father said, here I am. You're going to pray in the name of Jesus according to the riches of his glory. And God's going to start downloading riches and glory into the earth. Downloading, downloading, downloading. You're going to walk around and get answered prayer every day of your life. Because he's going to remove all the separation. You got to get love flowing. Not your love. Forget about it. Your love will never, never, never. It won't stand up to the devil. His love will stand up against all things. How do you get his love? You hold that word there. You fight everything that tries to stop it. I will keep his word. I will keep his word. I'll keep his living word. See, you keep one word, he'll give you another one. I kept that one about the temple for a whole week. He gave me this one yesterday. He said, I want you to keep this one for a while. He goes, I'll give you something else to keep. Each time I give you something, it's going to open up something else in your temple. He goes, I want all of it burning bright. He goes, I'm going to open it up. He goes, once you get all the indwelling part right, then I'll start giving you the outflow. You'll keep an outflow word, and whoosh, there it goes. Did y'all get that? Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? The Holy Ghost know what he's doing or what? But you got to jump on the train. I'm telling you, he's moving fast. This week will be darkness next week. I'm telling you, that's how fast. What we're in now will be darkness by the time next week comes along. You got to get in there. You cannot allow yourself. You cannot allow yourself to be distracted. You're either going to be the one God's going to use or the one that's going to be receiving from the one he is using. You have that capacity to be right on the train. Some people just don't want it. I'm telling you, they don't. They don't even have the capacity. But that's why Jesus said, he that had the ears to hear, let him hear.